She now reviled Odysseus in these abusive words. "Why, silly stranger, you are certainly some crack-brained person, unwilling to go to the coppersmith's to sleep or to the common lodge. But here you prate continually, braving these many lords and unabashed at heart. Surely the wine has touched your wits, or else it is your constant way to chatter idly. Are you beside yourself because you beat that scapegrace Iris? A better man than Iris may by and by arise to box your pate with doughty blows and pack you out of doors, all dabbed with your blood." But looking sternly on her, wise Odysseus said, "You cur, I go, and at once tell Telemachus what words you use, and he shall rend you limb from limb upon a spot." So saying, by his words he frightened off the women. They hurried along the hall. The knees of each grew weak with terror, for they thought he spoke in earnest. He, meanwhile, keeping up the fire, stood by the blazing braziers, observing all the men. But other thoughts his heart debated, thoughts not to fail of issue. Yet Athena allowed the haughty suitors not altogether yet to cease from biting scorn. She wished more pain to pierce the heart of Laertes' son, Odysseus. So Eurymachus, son of Polybus, began to speak, and jeering Odysseus raised a laugh among his mates. "Hearken, you suitors of the illustrious queen, and let me tell you what the heart within me bids. Not without guidance of a god this fellow comes to the household of Odysseus. At any rate, a torchlight seems to rise from his very head, for hair upon it there is none, no, not the least." With that he called to the spoiler of towns, Odysseus. "Stranger, if I would take you, would you like to work for hire on the outskirts of my farm? There will be pay enough, gathering stones for walls and setting out tall trees. There, for a year, I would provide you food, furnish you clothing, and put sandals on your feet. Still, now that you have learned bad ways, you will not care to work, but will prefer to beg about the town, so long as you can find wherewith to stuff your greedy maw." Then wise Odysseus answered him and said, "Eurymachus, I wish that we might have a match at work, in springtime when the days are long upon the grass. And I would take a well-curved scythe, and you another like it, to test our power of work, fasting right up till dark, with grass still plenty. Or, if again the match were driving oxen, choice, tawny, large ones, both well fed with grass, equal in years, and pulling well together, tireless in strength. And here were a field, 4 acres large, whose soil would take the plough. Then you should see if I could cut a straight and even furrow. Or once more, if the son of Cronus by some means stirred up war this very day, and I had a shield and pair of spears and a brazen helmet fitted to my brow, then would you see me join the foremost in the fight, and you would no longer jest and talk about my belly. No, you are very proud, and your temper is disdainful. No doubt you seem a great man and a mighty because you mix with few and they of little worth. But should Odysseus come and reach his native land, soon would these doors, however wide, prove all too narrow as you hurried through the porch.